time opening. We have an eye, part of a nostril, two teeth. One of the teeth has a small cavity. Close call, folks, but I think we got here just in time.
Presented by Maria Menounos and Kevin Undergaro, this is Anatomy of a Movie. In-depth discussions and breakdowns of various movie titles. And now that you've seen the movie, let the dissection begin.
Hey everyone, I'm Kristen Carroll, and welcome to a special edition of Anatomy of a Movie. Today we have John Jarrett with us, star of Wolf Creek 2 coming out. How are you doing, John?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Good. I'm so excited to see you. I just watched the movie on Sunday, and how was it going back to that character?
Oh, it's a lot easier going back than it was doing it in the first place, because when I first did it, I had the funny voice and the silly laugh.
And a whole different look, too. When you came in the door, I was like, okay, you're not as scary as you are in that film at all.
So I the first time around when did the first Wolf Creek, I didn't really know whether it's going to work or not, because a pretty brave character, because he's a bit off the wall. And, I know he does work now and works really well. So the second time around, I was very comfortable because I knew that what I was doing was okay and I could relax with it.
And this story, too, I mean, everything is based off of real events that happen. I think that's what makes this movie even scarier, is that there's truth in them. And this time they took, you know, the two Germans and then the other Englishman that you end up kind of kidnapping for for the length of the movie. And it wasn't so much about them as it was about you finding all these different people, unlike the first film. Is that what drew you to come back? Because it was a different take on it.
I didn't ever feel like I'd gone away, because I worked very closely with the director on the Wolf Creek 2 script. We're a bit of a team. Wolf Creek team works together, and so it was more of a continuation than coming back. And to me, the only difference with the Mick Taylor character is that he you see him for 90% of it. Instead of 50% of it. In the first one, it was the waiting for the monster to come out of the cage.
Exactly, the anticipation.
But now the monster's out of the cage and he just goes Burko for 90 minutes in Wolf Creek 2.
And that opening scene, I mean, he's not even hiding it at night anymore. I mean, he is full in the daytime, just going after whoever he wants.
Oh, no, no. In the first one, he blew the girl away in
at the end,
full daylight.
Yeah.
But, no, he doesn't wait for the night. He doesn't care, because the outback is a very lonely place. You can kill people day or night and no one will know, because, you know, you're lucky to see a car every hour out there.
How has it been for you, because this is based on true events? When the movie came out, what kind of feedback have you been getting from it?
Well, when we say true events, we use some of the techniques of some well-known serial killers in Australia. Like the severing of the spine is this guy called Ivan Milat, who's more of an urban serial killer. But my character, Mick, is a fictitious character, but he utilizes a few of the techniques of a couple of the serial killers that are famous in Australia.
Well, yeah, and some of the scenarios, too. And I think, have you ever been personally, like, lost in the outback when you've been back home?
No. As a kid, I was brought up out in the outback, so I understand the place. It's not new to me, so that's why I fitted into the character fairly well, because I understand the people from out there. And Mick Taylor is actually an impersonation of my father. But my father wasn't a psychopath.
Or
a serial killer. But my dad
was very patriotic to Australia.
Yeah, Dad was a very, very big, larger than life, happy go lucky. He's built like a brick. He's only 5'8", but he's like huge, 5'8". And everyone loved him, and he's very funny. So it's basically my dad with a little bit of little bit of serial killer drizzled in and psychopath sort of butted along the top.
Because he is, Mick is such, I felt more connected to him in this, you know, movie. And it's great because you're able to explore more of his side and find out he is funny. And not only that, but the whole kind of more of the reason why he's doing this. I mean, obviously he's a psycho, but it goes deeper than that. He's trying
to
clean.
Get to understand, because it's 90 minutes of Mick. But when you look at the first one, it's kind of a compacted version of this one, really, is the way I see it. And you get to learn a lot more about him because he's there for the entire film. But in the first one, he played games with them and he captured them and then he chased them and the car went over, his pickup went over a cliff and then he got in a big V8 car and chased them. So it's like a compacted version of the one that's out now. And so it's bigger and brighter and there's a lot more going on because there's more time and more room for it. And so it's more of a chase film this time around, and we use big trucks and, you know, like Kenworths go crashing down the hill. There's no computer graphics in it.
I was just going to ask, like, how much was CGI?
All in camera. Oh, the only CGI thing was the kangaroos that we ran into.
No kangaroos were harmed during the film.
No.
That's good.
No, not on camera, no.
Yeah, that scene, I was like, oh, my God, how can they do that?
But that happens all this time in Australia. That's not really – Australians will see that and they won't say, oh, that's the work of a serial killer. Because most people who drive in the outback run into a kangaroo somewhere along the line. If you ever go to Australia and you drive around in the outback, there's dead kangaroos all over the place that cars and trucks run into. Because they got very bad road sense and they're a night animal and they hop out in front of you and you go bang.
Yeah. Well, and such big creatures as well.
Yeah. They wreck the front of your car pretty well.
How does it work for you with stunts then? Because, when the cars roll over or even like chasing after them this time in the movie, you know, you got smacked with a hammer at one point. How is it working on those types of scenes?
Well, the getting smacked with a hammer... I'm nearly 62, right? So I'm no kid anymore. I stay fit and all that. But, I had to fall on the ground about 8 times and it was in a studio and it had about that much sand and under the 2 inches of sand was concrete. So I threw myself on that about 7 or 8 times. But I still get up without having to go to the chiropractor, so I'm doing okay for an old bloke.
Do they have a stand-in for you for any of the scenes? No, you just do all your own stuff?
No, I don't like stand-ins.
I like that about this film, too, because it does seem so authentic, and you even said, you know, there's not a lot of CGI, so it does create a more horror aspect than some of the other movies as well, just even, certain...
Well, I admire people shooting movies in camera. I mean, Tarantino shoots everything in camera. He tries not to have any CGI. Which is old school, and that's the way you used to make movies. And I think because of that, it's more exciting because it's tangible and it's real. And no matter how good you are, the computer stuff, there's something that's not exactly three-dimensional about it, I think. So the more you can put in camera, the better.
Oh, and Tarantino, too, working on some of his films, and he even said you're one of the best actors out there, you know. Do you take that with you when you go to this set or when you're, you know, kind of creating this film as well? You're like, do you take in his lessons to filmmaking?
Quentin's lessons?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm 12 years older than him.
You're like, no. He takes lessons from me.
Yeah. Well, he took Australian accent lessons in Django. he's amazing. I'm just joking. He's amazing. He's a genius. Very, very clever man. I enjoyed working with him, but I think I've been around too long to be learning too much from anyone else anymore.
Yeah.
I think I've got myself pretty well worked out.
What's something that stood with you that you take with to each film? That and a lesson or something that, you know, a newer person should know?
Oh, that all of, probably as other actors would want to know, or younger actors, I just, the big thing I take with me to every film is backstory, you know. I have a very strong backstory. I go from when the character was born right through to what I call page zero, which is just before page one of the script.
Mm-hmm.
So that when I walk onto the set for the first day, I know exactly who the hell I am, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I work out the backstory of the character, then I say, okay, how much of John Jarrett is part of that, so I can make it more truthful.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I chose my dad for Mick Taylor, because I know who he is really well, and I can relate to him very well.
Is it better for you to create the backstory yourself, or do you usually talk to the director or the writer of a film? Or
no, I do it myself. Yeah. Because then I own it. It's not much use getting a backstory from somebody who's not playing the character. And when I was a young guy, sure, mm-hmm. You know, I worked with Peter Weir on Picnic at Hanging Rock, which was my second film back in 1974.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a lot to learn then, but not now. I kind of worked out what I'm supposed to do and how to do it. And I have a routine that I work with. And I work with directors these days. When you're younger, you work for them because you can learn a lot from them, you mm-hmm. know. But you get to a stage where it's like football or something. You just know the moves.
Yeah, it's more collaborative.
Yeah.
With Mick's backstory as well, we do find out part of the reason he's doing this is because he's very patriotic to Australia and all of his victims mm-hmm. aren't from there. What is something, you know, from Australia, you know, as an American, that I should know going into there?
I'm not sure what you mean.
In what respect? Something, like if I was going, you know, what makes, I guess, kind of Australia unique in a sense to you, or to Mick? Like, why doesn't he want these outsiders there?
Oh, why doesn't Mick want outsiders? Because it's like they're coming onto his turf. Mm-hmm. And they're kind of city hippie, weak youth that he doesn't like from other countries, you know. So there was just justification, you know, just the same as Ku Klux Klansmen justified the fact that they murdered African Americans because they decided that they were less than mm-hmm. they were, and all of that idiotic nonsense. It's the same for
he just built it
for
up.
Mick. Mm-hmm. He's worked out and justified to himself why this is okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it's not okay. You know?
No, not at all.
It's not okay. But right through since the beginning of time, that's been happening, you know.
And I think that's what makes
Hitler. Hitler did it with an entire nation.
That's what I think connects you to this kind of horror movie, because he is somebody that we've seen in the past. Do you find that when you're playing him, that you know, that you kind of understand him in a weird sense? I mean, you're not going to go out and do anything like that, of course, but just
I.
Because you play him so real.
I don't understand it, yeah. But I've figured out kind of why, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
It's really difficult to answer that question. It's a very he's got a very dark side that I haven't got, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's understanding to people who have got that sort of evil streak about them.
Mm-hmm.
But so I've got to try and understand how they think, which is, I suppose, it's just a weakness in the human makeup mm-hmm. is what these people are, because I can't see any other reason as to why, you know, paedophiles and rapists and murderers exist,
mm-hmm.
only that they haven't got enough backbone to not do those kind of things, you know, and they mm-hmm. just, their conscience must be They don't have a conscience, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really understand them. I don't. But
it's good.
I know. I kind of understand. Like my son Charlie is who I love more than anything in the world. You know, I love all my children, but he was a hard one. He was a tough bastard to bring up. You know. And there's times when he was driving me crazy and I wanted to pick him up and slam him against the wall and belt him, but I didn't.
Yeah.
I never hit him in my life. But I've had flashes where I'd like to just bang him, you know?
Well, it's like when you're driving on the 405 getting here. Yeah, it's just like, man, yeah, yeah, I just want to,
that's right.
Know.
But some people can act on it. They do pick their kids up and slam them, you know? So I suppose that's what these people are. They're people who just don't know how to control themselves.
Mm-hmm. So have your kids all seen the Wolf Creek movie?
My adult kids have.
Your adult kids, yeah.
I've got six kids, so yeah, I got.
What's the youngest?
10.
Okay, so yeah, not old enough to see the film.
I got a 10
yet.
And a 12-year-old, a 20 and 26, 28 and 36.
What?
Yeah. Nicely spread.
Yeah, and you don't want the younger kids to see, you know, daddy doing that.
No, well. They want to.
They want to.
They say, I go out with them, do you know who this is? This is my dad. He is in Wolf Creek. It's scary. But they've never seen it, you know.
So if you with any of the daughters, if they have a boyfriend over, you're like, you know who I am.
None of that's happened. But my daughters were very disturbed by it.
Mm-hmm.
But my sons thought it was cool.
I actually read somewhere you're not a huge horror movie fan, correct?
No.
Yeah.
No.
So do you go into, because this is considered a horror genre, do you go into this with a different outlook in it when you're creating it?
No. No, it's just I'm playing a serial killer. And so I just live for the next good script. I don't care what genre it is. It's, you know, someone hands me a script and says, would you like to do this? I read it. And if I really like it and I want to play the part, I'll do it. Mm-hmm. So I don't really look for anything. No, I've never been a huge horror fan. I like the Wolf Creek kind of horror because it can happen, and that's very scary and very interesting. Like I love Cape Fear. I like Psycho, but Freddy Krueger and all of those, doesn't do it for me, you know. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
something based like more in reality, grounded in reality.
Yes, yeah. I don't mind that.
Mm. Yeah. For this film, too, you have so many young actors that you're working with.
Mm.
Is it kind of a lighter feel on the set compared to what the film is? Do they play pranks on anybody or is any kind of...
Because... I'm the one who plays all the pranks and slaps people around and has a good time because my character's having the time of his life.
Mm-hmm.
But they have to stay fairly well in their zone, which is completely freaked out. And people like Ryan Corr, you know, trying to feel extremely vulnerable and on the edge of being killed.
Yeah.
So there's not a lot of room for them to lighten up.
Joke around, yeah.
Yeah.
What you said, you joke around on set. What's a funny story you can share with us?
Oh,
that stands out.
Things like there's a couple I can't share with. the things like throwing fingers in, you know, and trying to, and everyone. No, let me. And you roll them in, and they look funny, and rubber fingers, you know, covered in blood.
Mm-hmm.
And then everyone has a go. Oh, no, let me have a go. And it's like bowling. And yeah, that's it. Oh, great. No, let me have a go.
Bowling with fingers.
Yeah. And it's kind of macabre. You're there throwing fingers in front of the camera.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sort of nonsense.
Do you kind of stay in character sometimes on set? And that's what I would do. I'd kind of like sneak up on people when I'm in character.
Well, in the first one, I played with the actors a lot more, and I'd go up to I stay fairly well clear of the actors and don't have a lot to do with them. I like to bash them up, the boys, and which is good because they're like Ryan's only 23 and I'm 60 odd, mm-hmm. and I can still beat him, you know, and I kind of like that. I like to let him know that he can't
break
beat
him
me.
In. Let
yeah,
him know.
Because he's a fairly slim kid, and you know. I'll get my comeuppance and I'll cast Hugh Jackman opposite me one day and then I'll be scared. But, yeah, so the first time around I said to the young actors, I walked up to them and I said, oh, I've been seeing the dailies and, you're doing a great job and, you know, you look so young and fresh and full of life and I just think veal. And then I walk away, you know, stuff like that.
Just like your dinner for me. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, yeah. And Jono asked me, did I stay in character? And so I shirt-fronted him and slapped him around and threw him about and did a mick on him. And he wrote about that and he was genuinely freaked out. So, yeah, I do stay loosely within the realms of mick, but I don't kill any people.
Now, Mick as well, we get to hear his pipes in this film.
He's not a very good singer, is he?
I thought it was fun. It was kind of, I felt like I was at a bar singing or something, you know.
Yeah,
Tommy Kangaroo Dance
One. Tommy Kangaroo Dance One, yeah.
So do you sing in real life? Do you?
Yeah, I sing a lot better than Mick.
What's your song of choice? What's your song of choice?
Oh,
Or band.
My favorite. Oh, my, you know, I'm old, you know, so I like the Stones and... I like the Beatles. I like all of those kinds of guys. The great old rock and rollers and mm-hmm. Robert Plant.
You know. Now you've been in here the business for a while. Who haven't you worked with that you would love to?
I'd like to work with De Niro. That would be good. Yeah, because I find him interesting.
Such a wide range of everything too. So it'd be fun to see how, you know, what kind of a film you play.
Yeah, I don't know, but no, he's a really good actor. He does the Bronx all the time, though. He's usually a gangster or a guy from the Bronx, but he's very interesting. I'd like to work with him.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there's a lot of actors I'd like to work with. I love Johnny Depp. I think he'd be good to work with because he's so off the wall. No, it's a wonderful actor that I'd love to work with, yeah,
mm-hmm.
given the opportunity.
Now, I'll do a quick spoiler alert for anybody who hasn't seen the movie yet. So earmuffs if you haven't.
Spoiler alert.
Can we see, do you think there'll be a Wolf Creek 3? I mean, it leaves it open-ended to that.
Well, if you people out there watching this try to buy the movie, you know, VOD, buy it, and not download it and pirate it. Yeah, we might make a profit out of the movie that way. But so if the film does well, we'll do another one. But if everyone continues this pirate business, well, it's just killing the film industry. For independent films anyway. So that's just got to stop.
That's how they make their money, yeah.
It's got to stop because you want to watch the movies, but you're inadvertently killing the industry off,
mm-hmm.
and you'd just be stuck with, you know, big Hollywood blockbusters, and films like mine won't be made anymore if it keeps up. I mean, if you could download a new BMW, they'd soon stop it, wouldn't they?
Yeah, exactly. I'm waiting for that, actually. I'll buy a movie. Like, that's fine, but if there was a BMW I could download.
Yeah.
I might have to do it, John. Not going to lie.
Yeah, so if we're successful...
So is it something you've kind of already talked about?
Oh, yeah, of course.
So the different ways that we could learn more about Mick, too, because he is such a fascinating character. And he's all alone out there. I feel like at some point somebody has to know him.
Yeah. No, I don't think he never loses and he never dies, I don't think. He's like Pepe Le Pew. He just keeps turning up. So I never run and I never yell.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much, John. I appreciate you being here. I was so excited. I love the movie. I watched it Sunday and I just sat there like hiding behind my pillow for half of it too. Really kept me on the edge of my seat. And I love horror movies. So
yeah.
I was hoping
it's got good laughs in it too, isn't it?
It does.
And it's a comedy horror.
The whole time I was watching too, I go to Universal Horror Nights at down in Hollywood every year, and I was like, man, they should do Wolf Creek for one of the mazes.
Yeah, they should.
Yeah, have Mick come out and scare people.
Push it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it for being here. And you guys have to check out Wolf Creek 2. It comes out very soon, right?
Is
it?
Oh, it's,
Australia.
AMC Burbank on the 16th.
On the 16th.
In the cinema, if you want a cinema experience.
I definitely recommend that. I mean, I watched it at my house, but I think I would have been even more freaked out in the theater in the dark.
Great in the big screen.
Yeah. So thank you so much, John, for being here. And I'm Kristen Carroll for Anatomy of a Movie. See you guys later.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the rest of the Anatomy of a Movie staff, we would like to thank you for listening and subscribing to the show. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to email or tweet us. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been Anatomy of a Movie.